What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, November. God damn it, Blessing. Wednesday, November 11th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Rogue One at Gary Whitta.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. I can't complain. The embargoes are all up, Gary. I got to wake up early today, stream some Demon's Souls, stream the PlayStation 5 store. It's all going up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames if you missed it. And I asked Blessing, put together the document. And I should have said, also, don't make me look like a moron. He has the date as November 20th, 2020. Blessing.
He fucking got you.
The bane of your existence.
you look so dumb for like 2 minutes.
I know. And no one's going to believe he did it. And he's going to be all like, I didn't do anything.
Is Blessing like, has his probationary period expired? Is it too late now to do anything?
No, it's
about
definitely
it?
Too late. Yeah, it's past. We're stuck with him now.
You got to make the best of it, I suppose.
Exactly. That's the thing. He has carte blanche and he knows it. He knows he can do whatever he wants and none of us can stop him. And
wait, really? Is that really how this works?
Terrifying. I that's how I understand it.
Huh. Okay.
That's how I understand it. I don't know.
I don't have to keep trying.
Kevin, don't get any ideas.
No, you're back on probation. You went through the looking glass. You've been here so long that you're back
on
probation.
You've gone all the way around, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to be clear,
exactly,
I'm not on any probation. No one can hold me down.
That's true. Mr. Whitta, how are you?
I'm good. I'm excited. Next Gen is here. It occurs to me that today is kind of a weirdly auspicious day, this day that kind of straddles the old gen and the new, because Series X, of course, came out yesterday, so that means Next Gen is like halfway here. But the PlayStation 5 doesn't come out till tomorrow. So we're kind of at this like
this is the weird in between
planetary alignment of like the day between, you know, Next Gen arriving yesterday and kind of fully arriving tomorrow. So it's exciting. It's exciting times.
It is exciting times. I know. I'm happy you can be here with me. How have you been enjoying your Xbox Series X?
I'm loving it. As you know, Microsoft were kind enough to send me one a couple of weeks early. So I've already been playing around with it. And then the one that I actually ordered and paid for from the Microsoft store, which I wanted to have down in my office so that I could stream games and stuff like that, that arrived yesterday with a bunch of other goodies that I got. I got the 1 terabyte expansion card, which, nice, by the way, is actually a 920 gig expansion card. If that
they lie to your fucking face.
I get why on the actual Xbox a certain amount of stuff has to be set aside for the firmware, but like where's the 80 gigs on the expansion card going? I don't understand that.
Wait, but
at
like
all.
When you buy a 1 terabyte hard drive, it's never 1 terabyte because of the.
That's true. I just wonder what that extra 80 gigs is.
I think it's like a file structure thing, the format structure thing.
But they should make it like they should put in an extra 80 gigs so what you actually net out with
absolutely
is still one terabyte, right? Don't tell me it's a 1 terabyte card and then give me 920 gigs.
That's what you got to, you know, Gary, you got to keep them honest. And that's why you're the voice of the people.
But I'm telling you, it slots in the back of the Series X in a very kind of chunky kind of thunk kind of way. It's very satisfying when you slot it in there. And it instantly pops up, just says, oh, now you have another terabyte. Well done.
Beautiful.
Congratulations. And I also got the white and the blue controller. The blue controller is really sweet. I like the blue controller a lot. The Shock Blue, very nice.
Okay.
And I got to go find a ping pong ball. You think you can float a ping pong ball on the top of the Series X?
I have not seen that. Is
so
that true?
The airflow out of the top of the Series X is kind of cooling. This kind of cool breeze that kind of permeates out of the top of the Series X. Apparently, when it's I think it's not when it's idle, but when it's under load. Well, next time my wife plays Assassin's Creed, I'm going to try this. Get a ping pong ball, and it will levitate on top of the Series X. There's some videos of it going around.
That's looking for it.
So basically, Series X is one. Unless the PlayStation 5 can do that as well.
All
I'm
right.
Not sure how Sony can
it's
come back.
It's blowing air
Kevin,
hard
he's
enough
got a
to
point.
Hold.
Not sure how Sony can come back from that one.
Because think about it. Gary, you know this. You got some annoying kid in the room. They don't care about the game you're playing. Kids are stupid. If they see a levitating ping pong ball, they're going to be obsessed with that. That's what they're going to want to go watch.
Quick PlayStation 5 order update. I did order two. I got two orders in. Two orders in on launch day. I was you know, hammering F5 with everyone else on the day that the pre-orders became. Remember that clusterfuck, Greg? That felt that was like
can I forget?
The Xbox was so smooth.
1 million. Remember 1 million years ago when we were first pre-ordering the
right. Yeah, yeah.
It was a little bit better. It was still a mess, but it wasn't as bad as the PlayStation 5, which was really bad. But I got two pre-orders in on launch day, both roughly at the same time. One at Amazon, one at Target. The Amazon one has shipped, and I'm told will be here tomorrow. The Target one is now saying the 17th. So. Not everyone's going to get it on launch day, it seems.
Oh,
like.
No. We knew that ahead of time. Yeah, I have one right now that's over in Oakland. And then I took care of employees and friends, and I have those going out as well. And I haven't gotten an update on some of them, but I'm confident they'll be there eventually.
I saw,
What's the worst
I saw,
that can happen?
I saw some people saying that they got emails from Amazon saying, and these are people that ordered pre-ordered Series X on day one, like the first day you could do it, that they may now get it before December 31st. That sucks.
That's terrible.
That totally
sucks.
I got that email that was like, hey, man, it might be later than we thought. Because I ordered it Amazon, those first round of sales that went up.
Yeah.
And I just checked the notifications and it should be here tomorrow. I'm so excited.
I'm excited about the PlayStation 5.
A lot of things with Amazon, remember, they kind of warn you ahead of time as if something might go wrong and then it doesn't turn out to be wrong, but they don't know.
I've moved some furniture around to make room. I'm excited about it. Nice. I actually measured the little cubby where my PlayStation 4 Pro is right now. The PlayStation 5 just barely fits. So I don't know if I'm going to slot it in that little cubby and have any concerns about airflow. I can't stand it up because it's so tall. It actually encroaches on the bottom of my TV. So I either have to like put it on top where I've said a million times, my wife in particular thinks the PlayStation 5 is a bit of an eyesore. So if we can hide it away in a cubby, we will, but I don't know, I have to find out if I've actually got room to slot it in there. We'll see. Everyone's situation is different, you know, what their cubbies look like.
Like your
little unit that you've got behind you there, like that's got like nice big open space for you to slot it in there.
Yeah.
And my Series X, the one in my office, just barely fit horizontally. Like this is like a half inch of clearance in the little bay where it goes. So these new consoles, some people are going to have, I think for the first time, because, you know, this is the first time that consoles both across the board have got substantially chunkier, that people are going to have some aesthetic, practical, you know, a Tetris to do in terms of how they're going to make these fit into their existing, you know, furniture setups.
Did you ever entertain even for a minute for downstairs maybe getting the Series S?
I did, but I couldn't get one.
Ah, okay.
Plus, you know, if I'm gonna do it, I may as well. And the thing is,
if you're gonna go big or go home.
But honestly, it's having a Series X down here until I get like a 4K monitor or something. It's overkill because the monitor that I'm on right now, which is what I use to stream my games, is a 1440p native monitor. That's why I have the Series X set to output as. That's basically what a Series S does. So I'm not, aside from having the extra storage, which I guess is good, I'm not really getting the like a big benefit of having a Series X down here in my office rather than a Series S.
Okay. Fair enough. Let's talk about the fact that, yes, it is the final hours before the release of the PlayStation 5. Early Godfall impressions and a new few AEW games announced, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can give us your questions, your comments, your concerns, your squad up requests, and oh, so much more. Of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can get the show ad-free. You can get it with the exclusive post show we do each and every weekday, and you can help keep the lights and mics on. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, it's no big deal. You can head over to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every weekday to get a brand spanking new episode. And hey, you can even watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames if you are live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, like the nanobiologist Corey Cudney, Hansy Shots. You have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe.
Hey, can I do a quick plug?
Yeah, well, hold on. Housekeeping. Gary, what do you got to plug?
Just super, super fast.
Make it longer because I want to eat some of this burrito. I was streaming right
now. Okay, while you, what is that? Where'd you get that from?
It looks delicious. I bet around the corner.
Where'd you get that from?
We make them.
What?
Is that a breakfast burrito?
What, you made them? What are you, some sort of chef now?
No, Jen's really making them. But on Sunday, we assemble them, and then you freeze them, and then you just pop them in the microwave, and then you got a burrito in 2 minutes.
How good can they be if you've microwaved them, though?
Gary, I know it's COVID times. Next week, when we have a fresh batch, you come over on a non-window Wednesday. You give me 2 minutes heads up, and then I'll bring you one down. You can eat it, and you'll find out it's delicious.
Listen, I got to get you on the same train as me. Maybe I'll buy you one as a Christmas gift. You've got to get yourself an air fryer. It'll change your fucking life. For someone who likes to spend time in the kitchen, get a goddamn air fryer.
Okay.
It will blow
the wings are good. You always say the wings
are good. Best thing we ever bought. I've been thinking about this.
They're good stuff. You got pictures anymore on the social medias?
Of my air fryer?
Of the food that you've made with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we first got it, we were posting a bunch of pictures. Like, the novelty's kind of worn off now, but we just use it all the time, and it's brilliant. I mean, I'll cook a ribeye steak in there. It comes out fantastic. I'm telling you, I'll do anything. You can do anything with those.
You recommended it, and my friend Sean wanted one. Remember, I asked you, and he bought it, and he's obsessed with it too.
I'm telling you, I don't know anyone who's got one who isn't like,
plug it right here. This is how you get air fryers for life.
I'll tell you the one exactly the one I got. Go to Target right now. They always do deals on them around the holidays. Get the Power XL. I have the 3-quart, but they have bigger ones as well if you've got a bigger family. For your household, Greg, like 3 people, the 3-quart one is fine. Get it for under $100. Stick it in the corner of your kitchen counter. It's going to change your life.
Okay.
You're going to love it.
What was the other thing you wanted to plug, though?
Oh, just real quick. So yesterday, November 10th, Series X wasn't the only big launch. I have a book out, Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, from a certain point of view. 40 authors writing 40 different stories set in the world of Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back. I'm one of them. I wrote a story in it that I'm really, really pleased with called Rogue Two, about the snowspeeder pilot who finds Han and Luke after their last on Hoth. And it's just really, really good. There's like Austin Walker's got a story in here, all kinds of cool people. I'm very, very pleased to be here. People are asking in the chat where to get it. Go to Amazon, go to any bookstore and type in the name of this book and you will find it. And it's very, if you like Star Wars stuff, really, really worth getting.
Excellent. More plugs for Kinda Funny. This Friday, even before this Friday, tomorrow, Thursday, 11:30 a.m. Pacific time, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We're hosting the Bug Snacks launch party. It's going to be me playing Bug Snacks along with a lot of the voice cast. So a whole bunch of people who are probably literally insane coming in to do voices, hang out, talk about what it was like making Bug Snacks. It's going to be a fun time. That's 11:30 a.m. tomorrow, Thursday, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. But then Friday, Andy is going to stream Call of Duty Black Ops Cold Wars campaign from his fancy PC to show off ray tracing on his NVIDIA RTX 3080. This is sponsored by NVIDIA. That's going to be 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, Friday, on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames.
Hey, Bug Snacks is on PS Plus, right? So I'll just be able to pick that up.
100%, yeah.
I love it. I love it.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Tom Bach. Today, we're brought to you by Upstart and Brooke Linen, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. We got 6 items on the Roper Report.
Baker's dozen.
Number one, it is PlayStation 5 Eve, as we said. So we have a rock block of PlayStation news that's actually numbered, so don't worry about it. It's not just one giant thing. But let's start here. Number one, we have Godfall. Early impressions are up around the internet. Gary, of course, you are still PlayStation 5 list. You haven't played this on PC though yet either.
Yeah, I don't have the Sony connections, the Sony hookup. So I forked over the $500 along with all the other chuds.
What is your impression? What is your hype factor for Godfall?
I don't even know what that is. What is Godfall?
Godfall is this looter melee game that's coming out, has you running around, smashing a bunch of stuff. It was the first PlayStation 5 game that was announced over at the Game Awards, being published by Gearbox Publishing. Really beautiful from what we've seen, but we haven't known much about the story. So behind the curtain with us, Godfall codes arrived on Monday evening with an embargo of, I believe, this morning as everybody's posting up. I got to play probably 30 to 45 minutes of it, and I was caught off guard by, number one, how beautiful it is, and then the fact that, yes, the combat actually is fun and engaging. No story whatsoever. They put one really quick on there or whatever. I was playing it and literally having that feeling of like, okay, cool, I could see where people would get into this, but literally as I was playing, I'm like, I'd rather go do this in Assassin's Creed Valhalla right now. I'm already invested in that world. I like the character. I like the story. I want to do that. But luckily, from PS I Love You XOXO, Blessing Eddie Oye Jr. started it and wrote in with his impressions as well. Blessing writes, I've put in about 3 to 4 hours into Godfall, and I'm pleasantly surprised. Firstly, it looks gorgeous. It defaults to performance mode, and even then, the smoothness of how the game runs combined with its striking art style and character designs has made for a visually appealing experience. It reminds me of Destiny and Warframe in that regard. The gameplay has also been pretty fun. It feels like the pitch at the studio was, quote, what if we make a Souls-like game but easier and gave it Borderlands-style loot system? Put simply, it's third-person action Diablo. And that's what I was thinking when I was playing it too. Back to Blessing, sorry. And for the most part, it seems like it's come together well. Although some of the movement is stiff, I've enjoyed hacking and slashing, collecting tons of gear, and equipping different weapons to see what works best. Where the game falters so far is its lack of originality. Nothing here truly stands out as extraordinary. The story is filled with fantasy jargon and tropes that lost me at minute one, and I'm the same way too. And even though I'm enjoying the motions of slashing and looting, I don't have much of a carrot on the stick beyond that. Maybe if I can find friends to hop into multiplayer with me, that'll be the game changer. Worth pointing out, of course, that the PlayStation 5 blessing played all this on, and everything we'll talk about, PlayStation sent us those PlayStation 5s for review, so thank you, PlayStation. However, let's get some more impressions in the mix here, Gary. Paul Tassi over at Forbes writes, "The day before the launch of the PlayStation 5, one of its highest profile console exclusives has had its embargo lifted, and at least so far, reviews are not looking that great for Godfall. Currently, Godfall is stuck at a 62 on Metacritic, with the caveat that it is only based on 6 scored reviews. And other big outlets like Game Informer and IGN either have their reviews unscored or still in progress, though the wording of those reviews is not much more positive. Here are some of the current thoughts from reviewers, and we'll see what those scores do as more reviews come in. Game Informer says, "In my time, I've enjoyed the boss battles and loot, but have grown bored of the 3 open world environments, which are small and don't hold much visual flavor. Everything looks the same, be it architecture, rocks, plants, and even the enemies." GameSpot writes, The early signs are promising then, particularly when it comes to combat. Mission design is uninspired thus far, with each one shuffling me from one fight to another with little else in between." Ding, ding, ding. Exactly. "Whether the combat has to carry the load throughout the entire game remains to be seen, but it just might be up to the task." And then IGN writes in their review in progress, "As of right now, however, I'm enjoying Godfall. Even if it's not doing much to wow me, and the repetition of its missions is wearing a bit thin. It's got some fun and satisfying combat, a few genuinely novel mechanics, and graphics that range from absolutely gorgeous to a little over the top. But unless its thin story morphs into more than an excuse to go grab stuff, the grindable action looter structure doesn't seem like it has enough variety to sustain its otherwise expansive customization." So it seems like even all of us, me and Blessing and these folks, are all in the same boat of like, it's pretty. I can see where the combat's fun. I didn't even realize it was only the 3 environments because I haven't even made it out of environment 1 because I was like, I want to go play Assassin's Creed. That is going on, though, and that's where that seems. So, Gary, it seems like probably doesn't need to be on your radar, but did any of this move the needle for you?
It wasn't on my radar at all. So while you were talking there, I took the opportunity to also pull up the website and take a quick look at it on the official Sony site. It looks all right. It's not my cup of tea, to be quite honest with you. I'm a little bit over all these endless, you know, Groundhog Day loot grind games. You know, go beat up 10 guys and we'll give you a slightly better pair of trousers. You know, I get it. You know, oh, but now those trousers aren't good anymore. You got to go get some new trousers. Go kill 10 more guys. I'm kind of bored of it, to be honest. Game designers need to find a way to kind of break out of that cycle. I understand why the games are popular. You know, it's the rat in the maze. You know, push the red button with your nose, and I'll give you a little pellet. And you know, it's like, oh, you know, if I push that button, I get a reward. I totally get it, and it works. And we get caught in these grindy loot cycles. I am bored of it, sure. And I'm not sure what this one is. If this one's necessarily doing anything that is gonna change that. So I don't
definitely know. Doesn't sound like it.
This feels like it's probably gonna get lost a little bit in all the launch hype. You know, yep. there's bigger and sexier games out there, especially for PlayStation 5. Everyone's going to be, you know, what's everyone going to be playing for the first few weeks on PlayStation 5? They're going to be playing Miles Morales. They're going to be playing Demon's Souls. They're going to be playing Cold War. And anything else that comes out in that window is a good chance it's going to get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, 100%. And I feel like that this might find a dedicated audience of people who want to grind that stuff out. But like I said, I was in and out of it pretty quickly. I can see why people would enjoy it. But unless, like Blessing says, unless you have a group of multiplayer people to run through with that, probably won't stick. Number 2 on the Roper Report, staying with PlayStation Eve, Sony exec says transition from PS4 to PS5 expected to take 3 years. This is Jordan Olleman at IGN. A Sony executive has said that the full generational transition from PS4 to PS5 will take about 3 years. Speaking to AV Watch, translated via Google Translate, Sony's SVP of Global Production Strategy and Management, Hideki Nishino, insisted that forward compatibility is important and that we'll be seeing cross-generational content that supports both PlayStation 4 and PS5 for a few years yet. Quote, the current assumption is that the transition from PS4 to PS5 will take about 3 years, he said. We have more than 100 million PS4 customers, but we will do our best to move to PlayStation 5 as soon as possible, end quote. No shock there. Obviously, having that many PS4s in the wild is an audience you want to serve, but also Jim Ryan's talked a little bit about that as well. Gary, are you at all, I don't want to say even offended, are you worried that supporting the PlayStation 4 ecosystem will hold back the PlayStation 5?
No, look how long the PlayStation 2 is around. I mean, they're either still making games for PlayStation 2 or either were until very recently, because when the installed base is that big, I mean, Jesus, I mean, they were still making Wii games up until really, really recently. When the installed base is that big, you know, you're leaving money on the table if you're not continuing to develop for it. But no, I don't think it's going to hold back next-gen development at all. The developers are smart enough these days that they can, you know, manage more than one thing at a time. It's fine.
Not to mention, I think, as we've talked about and seen, right, that this is a, you know, iteration of a generation, and you can see that, man, Spider-Man Miles Morales loads instantaneously on PlayStation 5 and looks great on PlayStation 5. Even Assassin's Creed Valhalla, something I, you know, played backwards compatible on PS4 and then played on Xbox Series X, and I'm like, holy shit, like, clearly the next gen version is the version you need to be playing, you want to be playing. And if it's delivering those kind of bells and whistles, yeah, and that kind of frame rate and those load times.
I was watching a bit of your PS5 stream right before this, and I noticed that because Leah is playing a ton of, by the way, Leah's loving Valhalla. I think she's really, it's clicking for her now. She's really enjoying it. And she's like the person I go to for my Assassin's Creed hot takes, because she's like really into those games now.
Oh, yeah.
She's loving it. And like I said, she's not the kind of person who's easily impressed by technology, but like playing Valhalla on this series, actually, like, my damn, this loads up fast. Like, it's just almost instant and it's magical. And then I watched you play a little bit. I was like, wait, why isn't this as fast? And then I realized, yeah, it's because it's not optimized yet, right?
Still
basically playing the
I am legitimately playing the PS4 backwards compatible version on PlayStation 5. And for
is there going to be some kind of patch tomorrow or something for the PlayStation 5?
The PlayStation 5 version of it drops tomorrow. Yeah, it's a free upgrade if you have it, and yada, yada, yada. But no, for me, Gary, like, I don't know how much you've toyed around or heard about it, but like, Ubisoft Connect, obviously, is what they've renamed their whole, like, you know, infrastructure and system, and that allows you to have cross console saves, cross platform saves. And so, having played a bunch on, I'm going to say the PS4, and I'm using quotes because I was playing on PS5, but it's the PS4 version. Having played a bunch of that and then kicking it over to my Xbox Series X and turning that on for the first time, I was like, oh my God, like, this runs so much better and looks so much better and is so much sharper. And it's like, I last night wanted to play more Assassin's Creed, but I checked for the PlayStation 5 version, and since I didn't have it yet, I was like, all right, then let's worry about Sackboy. Let's worry about Spider-Man Remastered. Let's worry about the new hotness that isn't talked about.
I mean, it's nice for sure. Like, it's not night and day different, but it's, and again, you have to remember these are just at the beginning of the generation where the games aren't going to be getting the full, benefits of the hardware optimization. But like, I watched Leah play a ton of Assassin's Creed Odyssey on the One X.
Yeah.
And now I'm watching her play Assassin's, and she was playing that, you know, in 4K, and it looked great. But watching her play Valhalla on the Series X, like, you can just tell, like, it's so much slicker, not just the load times, but like, you know, you can tell it's running at 60 frames in 4K, and it just looks gorgeous. Really, really nice.
100%, Gary. Speaking of this, the whole cross-generation, what's going on with that? Number three on the Roper Report, The Last of Us Part 2 and God of War have DualSense support. This is Demi Williams at Games Radar. The Last of Us Part 2 on PS5 supports haptic feedback technology. Naughty Dog have yet to announce whether or not The Last of Us Part 2 will get an optimized, upgraded version for the PS5. However, when running it in backwards compatibility on the next generation console, the game has haptic feedback on the DualSense controller. A member of the game's Radar team has tested it out, and the difference is immediately apparent when compared to the PS4 version. In combat, you can feel the tension in the DualSense adaptive triggers when you draw the string back on the bow. God, we need a better example. When every shot you fire on a weapon will also result in a feeling of the controller, and it feels amazing. We also tested out the controller with Sony Santa Monica's God of War, and it turns out the game also has enhanced DualSense feedback, especially when opening Kratos' shield and throwing his Leviathan axe. You can feel the impact in the controller immediately. Good news there.
If there's one reason I'm excited about the PlayStation 5, it's because of that controller. I ordered a second one and it showed up already. I got it sitting on my little charging dock. It's sitting there all sad and alone without a console to connect
to. Someone save me.
I know, but I got a chance to, you know, kind of like just like get a feel for it in the hand, and it feels good. A little slippery. I prefer the rougher feel of the Xbox and the more sandpapery feel of the Series X controller. But everything I'm hearing about the DualSense I was watching like a Young Yeah video where he was like, you know, demonstrating how the adaptive triggers work and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, man, maybe this is their ace in the hole, because the Series X controller is nice. Like the new D-pad, I love it. I love the sandpapery feel. The share button's going to come in handy, but it is basically the old controller, right? They didn't reinvent the wheel or anything. Sony has kind of reinvented the wheel, and I'm wondering if some of this adaptive, this haptic shit they put in there might end up making the difference between, hey, if I've got both consoles and I want to pick up a multi-platform game, and in terms of like the console performance, it's kind of a push. You know, I think Series X has got a bit of a tech edge, but not so much. Unless you're like, you know, counting pixels for Digital Foundry, you're probably not going to notice much of a difference between a lot of these games. I don't know. Maybe you go with the one that has like the sexier controller features. I don't know.
I do want to say
Go ahead.
I was just going to say very briefly, the Xbox controller, I feel like it's, feels like a really big step up from the like previous Xbox controller, standard controller. Like I was at Tim's feeling it. It's like sturdier and feels like better made. And then I grab the old one, and it's like, oh, wow, this is controller. Really flimsy.
I agree. I actually prefer it to the Elite 2 because it's not as heavy as the Elite. I think the Elite 2 is a little heavy for my liking. It has that same D-pad. I was playing Tetris Effect Connected last night on Series X using the new controller, and the new D-pad is just so clicky and so tactile and so responsive that, you know, like a D-pad centric game like Tetris, you know, where you're just moving stuff kind of like left and right and doing hard drops. So much better than the old controller. I would say probably the best feature of the Series X controller over the old one is the new D-pad. I love it.
What I think is gonna be interesting, because I do agree with you of like, all right, if it's a push on performance, what nudges one console ahead of the other? And I will be interested on the one side for DualSense, how many third parties are actually making powerful use of it and not just using it as, well, just copying Xbox Rumble. Whatever the Rumble was over there, we're bringing it over there, and that's the end of that. I'll be interested to see that. And then also then how much quick resume matters to people. Because even today, you said you watched, I don't know if you caught the end of the stream that I did. It's the Demon Souls Let's Play that'll be up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. At the end of playing it for an hour, I was like, people wanted to see the other stuff, and I kicked around and showed the Switcher. And it was like, okay, cool. Xbox has quick resume, which is like, you know, pick up right where you left off. And the Switch or whatever is a shortcut to get you to different games, but you are starting from the very front and loading to wherever you want to go. And so on the stuff we already have, that is PlayStation first party exclusives, right? Spider-Man, Miles Morales, Demon Souls, like those load and get you into the game so fucking quickly. But then when I was like, let's load up Assassin's Creed backwards compatibility, and you have to sit through all the screens and the warnings and all that again, that's where you add into that. Whereas with Xbox, the quick resume is so cool. And if it is like, I'm in the middle of a mission in Assassins and you hit me up, Gary, and you're like, come play Fall Guys. And I know, you know, whatever, but like Fall Guys or let's say Fortnite, I could jump over to Fortnite and then 2 hours later come back and pick up right where I left off at Assassins and not have to go through those loads again.
Yeah, listen, I need to get into PlayStation 5 tomorrow when mine shows up. But like if I were compiling a list of what I think are probably like the top three arguments, you know, for one versus the other, because again, they're very similar in terms of performance. 90% of the games are going to be the same third-party titles. You know, and again, as cross-platform play, cross-play and cross-progression becomes more of a thing, that's even going to become less of a deal, you know, where your friends lists are, because your friends are going to be everyone sooner or later, regardless of platform. We're playing a lot of Fuser from Harmonix right now.
That's I haven't seen, I haven't had a chance to turn that on yet.
Let me tell you a little something about Fuser, Greg. That game is coming in hot for my game of the year.
Wow, it came out of nowhere.
I did a four-way DJ collaboration last night with three friends of mine, and I just had a big grin on my face the whole time. It is so much fun. Fuser from Harmonix. Go look into it. Seriously, it's so much fun. But what I love about it is it's cross-play. So like I was playing on Xbox, but my three friends were playing on the PC version on Steam, and it's totally seamless, works brilliantly, love it. But to get back to the point about PS5 and Xbox, you know, like what are the pros and cons on each side? I think the DualSense is going to end up being a top three, like this is why you would want to go this way rather than that way. Quick resume on Series X is in the top three on the Xbox side for sure. And Sony needs to find some way to match that technology, because it's one of those things that once you see it, you can't go back. Like I and I've seen it already on Series X, like some games right now out of the gate at launch, quick resume is like a little bit broken at launch right now. Some games I know they've had a bit of trouble with, they're fixing it right now. But like once you've seen it work, and then you go back to a game that doesn't support it or it's not working on right now, and you go back to the title screen and all that bullshit, it's like, what is this shit? We don't do this anymore, do we? I just want to get straight into the game. So Yeah, I don't know what Sony is if they have any plans or any if the Sony hardware is going to allow them to match that technology. But I think Sony, if they're not already, should be looking very hard at some you know Sony version of Quick Resume.
That's the hope, right? Because you've seen it when you go when you do the quick menu for your PSN, you pop it up there, PlayStation 5, and it says Switcher. Like I really feel the vision of the Switcher has to be. Moving between multiple because it works yeah. for apps obviously of popping into an app you've used and then popping back to the game. And I shouldn't even say that. I don't know. I haven't tested it because we weren't supposed to test media apps because of embargoes and when things would be ready. And they were ready this morning and I haven't downloaded any of my media apps. So actually throw that out. You would imagine though the vision of that is to quickly right. switch between your stuff.
Yeah. We're not all the way there yet, Greg. Maybe in the next gen. Like even Quick Resume isn't instant, right? Like the dream of it is like imagine like a carousel, right? And the games are just going around on a carousel and they're all in like a live state. So whichever one you click on, like it's just instantly there, right? And they're all held 100%. In a live state. Even Quick Resume isn't that. It's not that fast. It's like a few seconds, but it's still way, way better than the 30, 40 seconds you were waiting before. So it's a big, big step in the right direction. And, you know, the conversation comes up inevitably every generation. Friends and family members ask me, because God knows why they think I'm somebody who knows stuff about this. Should I get a PlayStation or an Xbox? And I usually say, well, you know, it's the, you know, it comes down to this or that. And I think there's going to be, I'm going to be talking to them about Quick Resume and the DualSense controller. And, you know, because again, a lot of this stuff really is a push. Tech hardware is mostly a push. Friends lists and game library is going to be mostly a push. It's going to come down to these quality of life features, like, you know, how good's the controller? How quickly can you, you know, snap back and forth between games? And it's going to be a while it's going to be a while for the technology to really bed in and for developers to really be able to start using this across the board. But, you know, right now, Microsoft has a little bit of a head start with Quick Resume mostly working out of the gate.
100%. Number four on the Roper Report, All Elite Wrestling announces new console game with WWF No Mercy director on board. This is Joe Screbbles at IGN.com. All Elite Wrestling has announced an upcoming console game developed alongside wrestling stalwarts Yuke's and WWF No Mercy director Geta Iwashita. The wrestling franchise also announced two mobile games. The console game, which currently has no official name or release date, got a teaser trailer showing off Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, and Hikaru Shinda in an exaggerated art style. It's in early development at Yuke's, the studio behind dozens of WWE games that was recently dropped from the WWE 2K series. Speaking at an announcement event, Omega, who dressed as Steve Jobs for the occasion, and so did the entire cast, and it was hilarious, explained that the intention is for the game to be easy to pick up but difficult to master in the lineage of classic sports games like NBA Jam and NHL Blitz. Omega also announced that Geta, the director of the much-loved N64 wrestling game WWF No Mercy, is part of the project. The company also announced two mobile games. AEW Elite GM will let players take on the role of general manager of the organization, quote, designing a roster of wrestlers, setting up matches, and running the show to generate revenue, new fans, and effects on wrestlers, stamina, and morale. It's due to arrive in 2021. The company also announced AEW Casino Double or Nothing, an AEW-branded casino game due to arrive this winter. Gary, I was so excited for this. I did a teaser video for it that they had sent me and they pre-briefed me on it. You talk about wanting to make another spiritual successor to No Mercy. I'm all in.
Yeah, I was curious to ask you about this, Greg, because I saw a bunch of this on my timeline yesterday. AEW, what the fuck is AEW? And I guess it's another wrestling league. I lost track of wrestling. I used to be really into it back in the early days when it was still called the WWF. Sure. But I lost track of it like shortly after the Rock Stone Cold era. I kind of drifted away and haven't followed it again. I always think but it seems like there's still like WWE is still like the big king of wrestling.
Oh yeah, no, I mean
right?
That's the thing is that for the longest time yes, they are the king, and for a lot of time they were the only game in town. You saw TNA try to challenge them, and that not work out to the same success, even though they did around for a while.
What was the other thing? NWO? What was that? I can't remember.
That was the WCW thing, but that was back
WCW,
in the day.
That was the other thing. WCW, I remember.
But you remember with WWE bought WCW, so I mean, like they absorbed all that.
It's always felt to me like, you know, the WWE has always been like Coca-Cola and everything else is like fucking Royal Crown Cola or something. You know what I mean?
100%. Like, what but is AEW
are they making inroads? Are they
AEW's doing a lot of things right. Okay. AEW's doing a lot of things right. It's run by Cody Rhodes, who Dusty Rhodes' grandson, right? Gold Dust's son. Like, I'm getting into the weeds, but like, they know what's up, and they have a bunch of both former WWE wrestlers, but people like Kenny Omega, who have been huge on the indie circuit forever. Chris Jericho is their face right now, or like the face of the company in terms of champion and some of the bubbly, a bit of the bubbly. This is awesome news, I think. AEW is doing a lot of stuff right. They're doing a lot of really interesting stuff. And again, Kenny Omega is a legit video game super fan, right? Like, if you don't know him, know that he runs with Austin Creed, you know, Xavier Woods from WWE all the time. They have a bunch of jokes and stuff going on. But Kenny Omega knows his shit. And early on, when people started poking them about a video game, he was immediately like, oh yeah, like, no mercy. We know what we need to make. So for them to come out and say that and go, it's all set. Damn it. Sorry. Cody is Goldust's half brother. I knew I was fucking that up when I said it.
Your chat really gets really, really triggered. I almost something wrong about wrestling. You notice that?
Oh yeah. Well, who doesn't love wrestling?
I mean, I don't really care about it.
But you did. That here's my thing about
I
wrestling.
Back in the day, I had two periods where I loved it, Greg. I'm old enough to remember fucking Jake the Snake Roberts and The Undertaker and you know, back when he was still with Paul Bearer. Oh, The Undertaker. I used to fucking love that
Undertaker.
Guy. I used to love Paul Bearer. And all of those fucking guys, Bret the Hitman Hart and Macho Man Randy Savage. Yeah. And then I was with it all the way up until what I still think is the greatest era in the history of wrestling, which is, you know, The Rock, Stone Cold.
Attitude.
Is that what they call it? The Attitude era.
Yeah.
And then after those guys drifted away, like, I kind of felt like no one ever really stepped into that to, like, I was never really into John Cena or these guys. I mean, I get there's a lot to like, but like, it never really was the same again for me. And I lost interest after that.
George writes in at kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and says, for Gary's information, AEW is owned by the same family as the Fulham Football Club, the Cons. They're doing better at wrestling than they are at football.
Wait, what?
AEW is owned by the same family as the Fulham Football Club, the Cons.
Fulham.
My apologies. And they're doing better
at
wrestling.
If you're going to look like Ted Lasso, Greg, start acting like it.
Number five on the Rope Report. I don't understand any of it. Number five on the Rope Report. Ubisoft apologizes for ableist description in Assassin's Creed Valhalla. This is Marie Delisandre at gamesindustry.biz. Ubisoft apologized for using ableist language in Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Courtney Craven, founder of Can I Play That, a games publication for disabled gamers focusing on accessibility, called out Ubisoft for the way it described a character with severe burns in the latest Assassin's Creed entry, PC Gamer reported. The description read, horribly burned in the childhood accident, Aeroforwine is terrified someone will see her disfigured face. She relieves her fury with bursts of violence. Craven said on Twitter that it is important to address such language, adding is an unacceptable talk about facial differences this way. Quote, writers for games and otherwise need to do better, they said. GF, who is a burn victim and spent many years ashamed of her scars, was sitting beside me when I came upon this bit in the game and the look on her face. I was embarrassed that this was her impression of the industry I love so much. Oh, her girlfriend was it? Ubisoft replied on Twitter apologizing for, quote, unintentionally reinforcing ableism through this language and said it will remove it in an upcoming update. When it will do so is unclear at this stage. Good on Ubisoft for changing it.
I think that's good. There's going to be people out there going, oh, Snowflake's getting triggered. Fuck off. I have no time for those people at all. This is a conversation that's actually been happening in the film business for a while. Like, you know, the point's been made for a long time. The Bond movies are terrible about this. They just did it again in the new one. They're never going to learn. Oh, the bad guy's got some kind of facial scar or facial deformity. That's how you know he's the villain. That's not how it works. Like, I mean, I get it. It's, you know, it's a way to kind of show, oh, this person's the villain because, like, he's got an eye patch or a scar or something. He's physically deformed in some way. But that's that it doesn't just because you're in some way kind of broken or imperfect on the outside doesn't mean you're that person on the inside. And I do think that over time, these kind of portrayals, especially in, like, really, really, you know, mass media, something like James Bond movies and Assassin's Creed games, do slowly over time lead to you kind of subconsciously making those kind of associations. Oh, that person's got a scar or some kind of deformity. There must be something wrong with them. That's not right. And I agree that games and media should not be contributing to that kind of thinking.
I want to bring something in because I think it's interesting. Kebabs, and this is not attacking Kebabs whatsoever, says in the chat, this is bizarre considering Steve Saylor has a credit in Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Of course, Steve Saylor, the blind gamer who was in there for accessibility and everything else. What I want to say, and again, I'm not attacking you, Kebabs. I mean, this is not a bit or anything like that. Like, that's a line of thinking we need to get rid of. Because remember, hundreds, if not thousands of people work on a video game. And I think even when Ubisoft, and again, to give Ubisoft credit, they have been very much at the forefront of accessibility and making their games more accessible and bringing in Steve and bringing in other people to work on their games and figure this stuff out. Remember that, and this, I speak about Ubisoft right now, but I speak about me, Greg Miller, and I speak about Kind of Funny, that at no point do you get to the top of the mountain and go, I'm done. I'm never gonna fuck up or offend or overlook or get in the way of something like this again. Like, that's impossible. That's an unrealistic standard. Just because Ubisoft and a writer somewhere put this in there, totally not understanding their privilege, I would assume, that they're a person who is not burned and would not understand how this would make somebody who is burned feel or anything like that. Like, this isn't a light switch. This isn't a right and wrong. This isn't a good or bad. The person who wrote this description, I by no stretch of the imagination think they were like, oh, man, the burn people are weird. Like, it's just something they're like, oh, this makes sense to me and what I'm going to put in here, we're going to go with it. Like, I don't like the line in the sand, this is good, these people are good, these people are bad. Ubisoft and everybody over there, I think a lot of people over there, I should say, are working to make games better and more inclusive and more welcoming. And I don't think that this is a step back. It would have been a step back if when Ubisoft saw this, they would have said, fucking get over it, or blah, 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 or like not had empathy to try to listen to somebody who's been hurt by this. That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen, is empathy. Can you be in that person's shoes and understand what they are and what they feel? I digress. Yeah, I'm off the soapbox. Yeah, Greg.
Well said.
Just want to make sure we're all on the same page that, like, at no point is... Like, guess what? Like, I always come back to myself and Kind of Funny, right? Because I'm the face of a business here. Like, we're going to fuck up. We're going to say something innocuous. We're going to use a term that we grew up with or whatever. And like, not like a racial slur, but like something that is like more of a, if you're not in that group, you don't understand how that makes people feel. And someone will call us on it. And when that happens, I hope and I imagine it will be, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I didn't know. Let's talk about this. Let's figure this out. And I'd like to imagine that all the goodwill, all the good things we've done, all the things we stood for aren't washed away because of one mistake. Now, again, if it was, hey, this fucking sucks and you hurt my feelings, and I'm like, fuck you, Kevin, get him. Like, that's a different story. Fuck us. But Kevin, no, back on the leash, Kevin. Back on the leash.
Sorry.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. I digress. Sorry. Back to some video game stuff here. Number six and final on the Roper Report, a PSA quote, or I shouldn't say quote, PSA. These smoking Xbox Series X viral videos are easy to fake. This is Paul Tassi over at Forbes. Do you want to click on this smoking demonstration that they put in here from Xbox Studio, Kev? I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to full screen it, of course. It looks like you can fake an Xbox.
Yeah, I mean, it's very clearly fake.
This is Paul over at Forbes. I woke up to find a few different videos making the rounds this morning that appear to show the Xbox Series X smoking from the top of its vent. Seemed to indicate heat issues that were occasionally mentioned in some early previews taken to a new extreme. These videos are almost certainly fake, and getting your Xbox Series X to smoke, that looks awesome, is likely just a trick to get some internet points and cause Microsoft PR to scramble. So what's going on here? The answer is likely that these video filmers are blowing vape smoke inside the Xbox Series X and then recording as it drains out the top. You'll note that these videos are each only 5 to 8 seconds long, and if this was real, it would likely be the smoke would be prolonged.
Don't these people have anything fucking better to do?
No,
I don't think so. Yeah,
on the internet, no. I have two ones to get in here. Right, all right, here, this is what it is, Gary. Guess what? You got two. Professor D277 wrote into You're Wrong. Gary was happy with the floating ping pong ball, so was I. Sadly, it's a fake post. VG247 has
at least at least that's at least that's something positive and fun. Even though it's silly. I mean, like the people that are going out of their way to fake videos to somehow say that to try and create the idea that like the Xbox is defective or something. Like, do they work for Sony? I mean, how much do they fucking care? I did a stream last night on my Twitch stream that was just like, hey, you know, I've got the Series X, let's check out a bunch of games. And it was just like, you know, trying to be enthusiastic about some of the new games. You know, I was critical where it was appropriate. You know, the quick resume didn't always work. I'm like, oh, they need to fix that. But mostly was enjoying the games. But I had a bunch of fucking Sony people in there, Sony fanboys. Oh, this is Sony's. It doesn't do this as well. Here, PlayStation, blah, blah, blah. Fuck off. Like, just let me enjoy my Xbox games. Why has everything got to be a fucking war? Why does everyone have to take a side? Just enjoy your fucking games and leave the rest of us alone. People going out of their way to blow vape smoke into an Xbox to create a fake video to make people think that there's something wrong with the Xbox. Have a fucking word with yourself. There is something wrong with your life if that is what you're spending your day doing. Seriously, get over yourself. Come on.
Well said as well, Gary. And I think, you know, we're talking about fake news out there and all this shit. You know what I mean? What I want to do is toss out my own fake news. Last night, I tweeted out a video of Spider-Man taking a picture of Avengers Tower, and it seeming to be that, that he no longer mentions the Avengers being on the West Coast. James Stevenson from Insomniac responded to my tweet an hour ago and said, this line didn't actually change. The car chase going past you likely cut the line off early. So, heads up on that one, everybody, that the Avengers are still on the West Coast.
Did you perhaps read a little bit too much into that, the reference?
I thought it was just interesting. I thought my read was on last night that they cut it because they want to make sure that there'd be no, now that we're here 2 years later and Avengers is out and, you know, Spider-Man is coming to Avengers. I would have thought they, if they cut it, they would have cut it because they didn't want people thinking it was going to be their Spider-Man. But apparently it's a line. It's just, it's so, you know, Spider-Man's so good at making things seamless that it's not like he cuts off mid-word. He finishes a sentence, then the cop picks up.
Did you see the thing that Jeff Gerstmann posted either earlier today or yesterday about how if you put the PlayStation 5 into rest mode while you're playing Spider-Man Remastered, it ends up coming back with like a hard drive error that you've got to repair?
Yeah, I didn't try it, but I saw the tweet about that, yeah.
Maybe that's just him. I don't know. I had a problem with the Series X setup where the controller wouldn't connect, and then it turned out it seemed like it was a one off and just got unlucky because the second one that I set up didn't have that problem. Maybe Jeff got unlucky, but yeah, there was like a weird thing with like having to go through that whole, you know, repair your hard drive nonsense.
And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's your Roper report. So let me tell you about our sponsors. Remember, of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to get the show ad free, be part of the show, and get it with that exclusive post show. But enough about that. You didn't go there. You're watching this with the ads. So let's talk about it. Today's episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Upstart. There's a lot of economic chatter right now about the state of the market. Is it recovering? How long will it take? Have we seen the worst? But if you're struggling to pay off high interest credit card debt, you can't wait for those answers. You need to take action. Now with Upstart, there's actually something you can do today to help fight off high interest credit card debt. Upstart is the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your job history in the form of a smarter rate. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000, so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate and proceed with your application. The best part? If the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 500,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and get back to using your money your way with Upstart. See why Upstart has over 6,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot. And hurry to upstart.com/KFGames to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate takes only a few minutes. That's upstart.com/KFGames. Your loan amount will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in the loan application. Not all applicants will qualify for the full amount. Our next sponsor is Brooke Linen. Life is too short to sleep between anything less than really nice sheets. But maybe you looked at some retailers and calculated the years of interest you'd be paying on just getting one just set and gave up. Trust me, go check out Brooke Linen. Of course, I'm Greg Miller. I sleep on Brooke Linen sheets and I love them so much that as soon as I strip the bed, I wash those sheets and put them right back on the bed because Brooke Linen is so soft. Cool. And when I went online and I got the mix and match patterns and stuff, I was very, very happy. Brooke Linen works directly with manufacturers to make luxury available directly to you without the luxury level markups. Brooke Linen has a variety of sheets, colors, patterns, and materials to fit your needs and tastes. Brooke Linen has over 50,000 five-star reviews and counting, so it is so confident in their product that all their bedding comes with a lifetime warranty. And Brooke Linen is so much more than sheets. They've got comforters, pillows, towels, and even loungewear and more. Kinda Funny loves Brooke Linen. Tim has the sheets as well. I can't stop talking about them. I use the towels as well. It's good stuff. You can buy sheets, bedding, pillows, and more all at once and save even more. Don't wait. Do something nice for yourself. Go to brooklinen.com and use the promo code GAMES to get 10% off your first order and free shipping. That's brooklinen.com and enter the promo code GAMES for 10% off your first order and free shipping. brooklinen.com. Use the promo code GAMES at checkout. Gary?
Yes.
I'm excited to get new Brooke Linen sheets one day. But I'm still in the middle of the show. I'm not going to be able to order for a while, so that's so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
the official list of upcoming software on each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Signal is out on Xbox One today. Vera Blank is on Xbox One today. Sparkle for Tales is on Xbox One today. And Area 86 is on Switch. New dates for you. Vigor Season 6 Junkers is live on Xbox Series X and S. I'm sorry, it's live in Xbox Series X and S versions have been announced. And then Fallout 76 is getting Steel Dawn update on December 10th. Deals of the day for you. YouTube premium subscribers can get the $100 Stadia Premier Edition bundle for free.
Stadia, is that still going?
Yes, and they're trying hard here as they do this. Waiting for that big killer app, Phoenix Immortal
Rise. It's just around the corner, Greg. I can feel it. They're going to turn the corner over there at Stadia.
Well, how much longer do you think Stadia's got before they pull the plug on that?
A year.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you got to think about how much have they fixed, you know, since it came out.
Remember, I mean, it's not even a fix issue. Well, I guess it is because I want it to run on everything the same way. It's more just the fact there's no goddamn play.
Can you use the controller wirelessly yet?
Oh, I'd have to go to Stadia.com. You're wrong. Let them know. There's a whole fucking spreadsheet on fucking Stadia.com last I checked that I have to go check out. I'm not in that life right now. You know what I mean? Not in that life right now.
I know people who really like it. They play games in Stadia and they like it. I mean, there are people out there.
My whole thing with the tech, outside of the fact it doesn't work on every phone or the controller being wired or wireless or whatever, is more just the library of just the fact that like they're still struggling to get things.
You know,
day-to-day.
I think it's really going to kill it. I think this Amazon thing's going to kill it. This Luna, yeah.
Did anyone ever? Did you guys get emails for it? Like, did you guys sign up?
I mean,
did you buy a controller?
No.
I think I signed. Did I sign up for it or not? I think I did. I'm keen to try it. I like the control. I like the look of the controller, and I know it's the same deal as Stadia, right? I just get this weird impression that maybe they'll make a better go at it. I don't know. We'll see. Having a company the size of Amazon steamrolling into that space is certainly not going to fucking help Stadia. That's for sure. It's not a good thing for them.
All right, so then let's get into some reader mail. Remember, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give us your question, comment, or concern. Ray Briggs II writes in and says, "Hey, Gary and Greg. Happy new console week. I'm all set up to pick up my PS5 tomorrow from Best Buy, but I am concerned about moving from the PS4. I know I will be fine as I have PlayStation Plus, but my 10-year-old has her own PSN ID, but no PlayStation Plus. I know Gary has a kid who might have their own account, and Greg probably has multi-user PlayStation 4s in his house. Will I need to get her PlayStation Plus for the cloud backup restore, or is there a process for moving user data not cloud-based from PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 5? And I assume if I move her data with no PlayStation Plus and no cloud, she is now a PS5 girl. There is no going back and forth between consoles. I'm going to keep my PS4 going in the bedroom. I appreciate everything you guys do to keep us entertained during these COVID times. My wife is a physician and I run our practice. You guys have helped me laugh through some dark times and tough days." That's what we're here for, Ray. So let's get into this as best we can, because there's always follow-up questions that I won't have answers for you. And also keep in mind that I'm learning as well. So yes, you're worried about your daughter coming over to your PlayStation 5 and using the PlayStation 4, right? But I'm concerned about moving from the PlayStation 4. I know I'll be fine as PlayStation with my daughter. For me, so immediately reading this, your daughter should be fine for all the stuff. Like I just talked about, she doesn't have the, I'm combining the stream I did earlier where I ran through with some of this with Games Daily. The deal is that on the PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 5, you can, of course, set up your PlayStation 5, then connect it to your PlayStation 4, automatically download everything that way. You wouldn't need the cloud. You could just transfer everything over that way. The other thing you could do on your PlayStation 4 is take a USB, pop it into your PlayStation 4, download whatever saves you want off of her profile that way, then bring it over to PlayStation 5, pop that in, transfer those saves to your PlayStation 5. What becomes cumbersome for your example here is that then when she starts playing PlayStation 5 games, those saves would be locked to that PlayStation 5 since she doesn't have Plus and can't upload to the cloud. Right now, you can't take a PlayStation 5 save and put it on a USB. Putting a PlayStation 4 save on a USB and bringing it to PlayStation 5 and then even taking it from the PlayStation 5 back to the USB and back to the PlayStation 4, that's fine. PlayStation 4 saves move no problem without a cloud. PlayStation 5 saves need a cloud to get moved around that way. And I know that's confusing. Sorry, go ahead.
I got to say, Greg, this is honestly my least favorite thing about modern gaming, and it's something that we're dealing with. We've been dealing with in my family a lot. We have three gamers in this house: me, my wife, and my daughter.
Gamers
all play games on PlayStation, on Xbox, and on Switch, and the multiple accounts, multiple consoles, family management stuff on all three is no good. It's probably worst on Nintendo. Is awful now. Anytime I boot up a game on Switch with multiple accounts, it goes like, oh, let's check first to see if you have permission to play this game. Have permission? The cartridge is in the fucking slot. What more permission do you want? Yeah, do you need to see my fucking ID?
What else can I do for you, sir?
What the fuck is that? I love Nintendo, but goddamn, do they do some stupid harebrained shit. Right now, we're having an issue on Xbox with our family management where my kid can't go into the bedroom when we have a secondary Xbox and play The Sims because I bought it on my account and I'm logged in playing something else. The PlayStation, we're seeing these issues as well. Like, they need to come up with some kind of simple family plan. Like, why isn't there like a Game Pass family plan? Why isn't there like a PlayStation Plus family plan that just lets everyone, if I designate you as a member of my household, you can play any fucking game you want on any console in my household up to, like, I don't know, five consoles or whatever, and just no more questions asked. Every fucking time, oh, you've been logged out because someone else is playing a game on another console. It's so fucking tiresome, and like, I'm tired of rooting around all these different menus trying to figure out what I need to do to like give the proper permissions to the right family members. And oh, this is your home console, this is your master console, you can do anything you want on this one, just not on any of the others that you paid the exact same amount of money for. It's shit, and they need to do better. The Nintendo, Xbox, and PlayStation all need to come up with better situations. There's more and more households out there that have multiple consoles, multiple accounts, multiple family members who are all playing these games. They all need to do a far better job of doing this kind of stuff, because right now it's a fucking hassle. My daughter got upset the other day because she couldn't fucking play The Sims because I was playing Fuser on another Xbox in the same house. I paid money for that game. Why can't she play it? They've got to do better. It is the number one thing about next-gen gaming that I don't like.
Yeah, and I don't know Xbox way, no PlayStation, because PlayStation... She wouldn't have that problem, and I'm also going off of PlayStation 4 knowledge. But if you were on the primary, if she was on your primary PlayStation 4, it could be offline and she could be playing the game, and you could be playing something online in the secondary. That's how Jen and I always did it for when she wanted, like, Borderlands. Like, when I had Borderlands, I downloaded it to two PlayStation 4s. She played on my primary, because she on a primary you can share everything on a PlayStation account, and then I played on a secondary PlayStation that wasn't mine. But I digress.
Let me designate a family group and a cluster of consoles that are all in the household, and just say, I'll pay you an extra $5 a month to do it, seriously, because it'd be worth it for me to get rid of the hassle. I want to have, like, up to say five family members, five different devices in the house, and anyone can play anything at any time without restrictions. They need to come up with something better, because all this, like, oh, you can't play this because it's not the master console, or you can't play that because you're not the account that purchased this game, even though you're in the family or whatever. It's crap. It's crap. I don't like it at all. Not every move forward is good. Like, it used to just be, I mean, this is the one that got me the most the other day. Seriously, Animal Crossing. 5 seconds I'm waiting for a wheel to spin on my Nintendo Switch while it quote unquote checks to see if I have permission to play this game. The cartridge is in the slot. What more do you fucking want? Are you suggesting
money.
I might
they
have stolen the
money.
Fucking cartridge?
Yeah, they were. They know you. They know how you are. A grifter if I ever saw one. Ryan T from Tennessee, and you're wrong, asked a question that I usually would ignore, but I'm gonna put it in here because it's this. Greg, can you say if you have a primary PS5 and a primary PS4, or just one primary in the whole ecosystem? I have a primary PS4 and a primary PS5. The thing about it, though, is I talked about this earlier, when I went to transfer my or try to transfer PT off of them, what I ran into is that in the old days, remember, if you turned on a PlayStation 4 and you were logged in, and then you turn on another PlayStation 4 and you logged into that, it would disconnect you from the original PlayStation 4 and say, hey, somebody else is logged in somewhere else.
Each, you. I don't know if one is better or worse than the others, but like all of the three major companies right now, Nintendo, Xbox, and PlayStation, all have shortcomings when it comes to this family, you know, multiple boxes, multiple accounts thing.
And then what I was going with, though, is PlayStation 5 now set up as my primary PlayStation 5. When I turned on my PlayStation 4, it just wouldn't let me even connect to the network. It was like the PlayStation 5 was logged in as me and overrode any other game over Greggy in the PSN, which I thought was interesting. And I don't know if it's by design or if that was in a test period and I haven't kicked the tires on it since.
Hey,
then.
So Greg, when I get my PlayStation 5, am I going to be able to import my Spider-Man save where I have New Game Plus from the cloud? Or am I going to need to like keep my PlayStation 4 out or something? It's driving me crazy.
Okay. So stick with me. In the example, let's remove Spider-Man from the question and just talk about a PlayStation 4 game, right? Uh-huh. Yes, you would be able to bring your PlayStation 4 save. If starting in the cloud, bring it down, no problem. You go in, it's super simple, it's super quick, you download it, you're great. Keep in mind with Spider-Man that they originally weren't going to allow you to use your PlayStation 4 Spider-Man save and Spider-Man Remastered, but this week put up a tweet going, we hear you, we're patching it.
I saw that,
by
yeah.
Thanksgiving, you'll be able to do that.
Okay. I mean, right. I'm probably not going to go near Spider-Man Remastered on PlayStation 5 until this Gerstmann thing gets sorted out, because I looked at, somebody posted a link in chat. I clicked on that. People are saying their PlayStation's been totally bricked over it. I'm not fucking around with that.
What did he do? I forget. What did he do?
I mean, so I don't know. Gerstmann had a whole series of tweets where he said that if he put his PlayStation 5 into rest mode while Spider-Man Remastered was active, when he came back, it said, oh, you've got to rebuild your old hard, you rebuild your entire hard drive. There's been like a storage error or something. That doesn't sound good.
And did he go further? Like, does he then have to format it completely, or does it just...
I mean,
I'm reading the two tweets.
Okay.
Seems like putting a PS5 into rest mode while Spider-Man Remastered is running crashes the whole system, forcing that, quote, repair your external drive process when you start it back up. At least that's how it's been for me the few times I've done that today. Also, every time I've had a PS5 go through that external repair sequence, it ends up on a black screen. I have to hit the power button on the console itself to force it into rest mode. Then it comes back up and asks me to file an error report. Then it boots normally. James Stevenson, of course, out there today, or yesterday too, crushing all sorts of stuff. He says, we're looking into this. So I guess that is real enough that they're looking into it, or just going off of Jeff's thing. I'm trying to think. I put my PlayStation 5 into rest mode last night playing Spider-Man. Yeah, no, I haven't had this. Not to say that Jeff's lying, then maybe it's just that thing.
But there's one other article I saw where someone who had a similar problem, they weren't able to recover their PlayStation 5. Like right now, it's like totally bricked, and Sony's trying to help them figure out what's going on.
For sure today, I'm wrong. I didn't do that, right? Because I started Demon's Souls this morning and then jumped over.
Do it right now, coward.
I don't want to fucking break my PS5.
Hey, Greg.
Don't do that. Greg.
Yeah, I'm listening. What's up, Gear?
Remember when you could just put a cartridge in a fucking slot and play a video game?
I do.
Those were the days. People have got really short memories. I saw people the other day going, oh my God, in a few more generations, load times are going to be gone immediately. Totally. You'll be playing
like, this. It's already happened.
Yeah, like the fucking 1980s. Amazing. Everything that's old is new again.
Ladies and gentlemen. We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. We have one in here. It's from the nanobiologist. It says the last Wii game was Just Dance 2020, released November 5th, 2019.
There you go. When was the last PlayStation 2 game? That's the one I'm curious to. Because that had the install base of all install bases. What was the last PlayStation 2 game to be officially released?
Chat, I'm gonna give the outro. You're allowed to sound off in You're Wrong on that one, or if I see you shouting it out there. You know, go to You're Wrong, show your work, because in chat, you're just going to start shouting out games you think are right. I could be wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, November 11th, 2020. Remember, the show is not over. We are going to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to do a post show that you can come check out. Of course, while you're on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can ask us questions. You can get the show ad free. You can get the post show we're about to do. You can watch a million other exclusives that are up there as well. No matter where you get the show, we thank you for supporting us. If you want to support us somewhere else, you can do it on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Of course, Gary streams on twitch.tv/GaryWitta quite often. Check that out. Tomorrow's host is going to be me and Tim. Friday, it's going to be me and Blessing. I'm clicking over here now to see if people agree in what's going on in You're Wrong. Now, of course, nobody agrees, as usual. As fucking usual. Yeah. Oh, God. And Nanobiologist is the only one who shows his work. And he says, it's Pez 2014 and gives me a Venture Beat article that's called Playing the Last PlayStation 2 Game Ever Made. It's by Dan Crawley from February 2014. But then, of course, a whole bunch of people are freaking out about Final Fantasy, blah, blah, blah. Da, da, da. So we're just going to give it to Nano and say Pez 14.
Tight.
There you go.
Tight. He deserves it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got a post show to do. But until next time, no. It's been our pleasure to serve you.